For the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. This is the MJA podcast. If it can be said that there are any positives out of the COVID-19 pandemic, telemedicine is the obvious choice. New Medicare item numbers and necessity have brought telehealth consultations into the mainstream. But there is one area where telehealth has already been making great strides, and that's in acute stroke. The Victorian Stroke Telemedicine Program has published results from its first 12 months, and the news is all good. Less delay, increased thrombolysis, and most importantly, improved safety. The study, written by Bladen and colleagues, can be found at mja.com.au, where it is open access. My special guest today is Professor Richard Lindley from the Westmead Applied Research Centre and the George Institute for Global Health. Most relevantly to our conversation today, Richard is the medical co-chair of the New South Wales Stroke Network. Talk to me about thrombolysis. What is it exactly, and when does it need to be done?
Well, stroke thrombolysis has now really been with us for 25 years. But the extraordinary story of stroke thrombolysis is it's how long it's taken to become mainstream. Now, there's all sorts of reasons for that. But in summary, it's the medical treatment of choice for people with an ischemic stroke. And we know that because there's now been substantial clinical trials which show that it reduces death and dependency. It improves your chances of an independent outcome. It's a standard medical treatment. But, you know, the 25 years of implementation have been a bit of a struggle.
Why, particularly?
The problem we had was when the trial originally came out, it just seemed unfeasible to many people in their current services. If you think back to the 1990s, we often didn't have widespread CT scanning in the acute hospitals, or at least our stroke patients didn't have access to that. The general public weren't cluey about stroke, and they were delayed in getting to the hospital. You know, unlike a heart attack, a stroke doesn't give you, you know, an enormous imperative to get to hospital. A heart attack, you've got terrible central crushing chest pain in many people, and that's a good driver to
yes.
call 000. But, you know, a little bit of weakness in your hand or not being able to speak, it doesn't quite have the same urgency to many patients.
Okay.
But I think we're getting that message over. The FAST campaign is very important and remains very important. And, of course, it's taken us a while to reorganize our stroke services to deliver this treatment because it is time limited. We really need to give this treatment as soon as possible, ideally within the first few hours of stroke onset, and definitely, you know, within about 4.5 hours. And that's quite a challenge because you've got to get people to the right hospital, you've got to get their brain scanned to exclude a bleed, you've got to confirm it's a stroke. And then you've got to give the treatment. Treatment is an intravenous stat injection and then a one-hour infusion. The problem with stroke is that there's actually quite a lot of mimics. And the importance of telemedicine is getting that stroke expertise right where we need it in the emergency department.
And that's taken a while, hasn't it? I mean, we seem to have been quite slow in our uptake of telemedicine.
We're not doing too badly. You know, I think the Victorian Stroke Telemedicine Program has just been a fantastic program that has really proven the value of telestroke, telemedicine. We've got lots of examples from overseas, from Europe, from America, and you know, rolling this out in Australia is a no-brainer because of our geography. And, you know, the rather curious Australian concentration of specialists in the big cities. So, you know, I, as you can tell from my accent, I came from the United Kingdom, where it seemed to me that specialists were quite happy living in other areas other than the big cities. But it doesn't seem to be the case in Australia. But now with telemedicine, you can access and review patients in emergency departments in rural Victoria and provide them with just as good a service as if you're in the tertiary teaching centre in the middle of Melbourne. And that is fantastic.
Your editorial is accompanied by some research by Bladen and colleagues about the Victorian Stroke Telemedicine trial. And that program has obviously made some important improvements. What particularly did caught your eye about the results from that trial?
Anyone can give stroke thrombolysis, you know. Anyone can give an infusion and an injection, but not everyone can give it safely. And I think the big message from this paper was that with the guidance of the stroke physician over telemedicine, the treatment of thrombolysis throughout the network was much safer. The reduction of bleeding rates in the brain, which is one of the unfortunate side effects of this treatment, mm-hmm. you know, went from 16% down to 4% substantially. And with that, there was a decrease in the deaths of those given thrombolysis. Now, there's a little backstory to this that's quite important. There's been some resistance in some emergency departments to give thrombolysis.
Why?
And part of this has been a complicated business of a bit of a bun fight between emergency doctors and neurologists in some parts of the world, medical legal issues. And the emergency departments, some physicians have been very worried about the side effects and have, you know, said, look, you know, we can't give this. It's too dangerous. But the beauty of this telemedicine program is that with the support of the stroke specialists, they can guide the department into giving the right people the right treatment and get these very well-known side effects down to a minimum. The problem with an ischemic stroke is that the harder you look, there's always a little bit of blood around. The pathologists tell us there's a little bit of bleeding in every stroke. MRI scanning can capture it in a third or a half of patients. CT scanning can capture a little bit of bleeding in 5 to 8%. And some of that bleeding is tiny. This is the natural history of an ischemic stroke. But sometimes the bleeding can be substantial. And with a clot-busting drug like thrombolysis, that accentuates this natural phenomenon. And what we have to do is to make sure we give the right patient thrombolysis to reduce these known side effects to the minimum. And I think this is standout data from this before and after study.
I'm chatting today with Richard Lindley, Professor of Geriatric Medicine at the Westmead Clinical School. His editorial on the use of telemedicine in the treatment of stroke can be found at mja.com.au. Here's what else you need to know today. The MJA Sustainable Health Issue is now available at mja.com.au. It's led by a call from the Editor-in-Chief, Professor Nick Talley, AC, for health professionals to step up and lead on healthcare sustainability. The MJA now has a dedicated COVID-19 section on our website. All the content is open access and you can find it at mja.com.au/journal/COVID-19. Back to our chat.
But you know, the other thing which I just loved when I read this is that 95% of the Victorian population are now within an hour of a stroke physician through this technology.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
And it's great. And you know, in my role as the medical co-chair at the New South Wales Stroke Network, the team here at New South Wales did a huge amount of work, and we managed to get funding last year mm-hmm. to roll out Telestroke to New South Wales, and that rollout has commenced. And obviously, with COVID-19, we've had a few delays, but the rollout is on its way. And so I'm hopeful that within a few years we'll cover the whole of Australia, and that would be fantastic for people having a stroke in Australia.
Speaking of COVID-19, it's hard to avoid, but one of the, if you can call it a positive coming out of a pandemic, one of the positives seems to be this uptake of telemedicine. It seems to be making it mainstream. You know, people are suddenly discovering that it's actually kind of handy. Are you hopeful that that might enhance the rollout of stroke telemedicine?
Oh, I think the pandemic has really speeded processes that previously seemed to be taking years to
yes.
almost overnight. In my other life as a clinical geriatrician, I'm now doing my clinic with telemedicine or telephone consultation. And, you know, I've been pleasantly surprised, even with the complicated geriatric patients. We've managed to identify the main issues in the ones I've done in the last few weeks. And I think The telestroke technology, though, is a bit more sophisticated. They've got these workstation on wheels that have got a camera. And so the stroke physician sitting at home or in their hospital in Melbourne can actually talk to the relatives, talk to the patients, Brilliant. Get a history. And we talked about this a bit earlier, but a third of people who come with suspected stroke to emergency or even perhaps to a TIA clinic don't have stroke TIA. And it's the story that really makes the difference. And the stroke physicians being able to talk to the relatives, talk to the patient, and get this story absolutely nailed is really what helps us rule in and rule out a clinical definite stroke.
There are other interventions apart from thrombolysis. Have they been improved by this kind of technology?
Oh, almost certainly.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other standout points.
Hmm.
What this before and after study also showed that the processes of care were speeded up.
Right.
And one of my great colleagues from the States, Jeff Savers, got this amazing calculation that with every minute of delay, you lose 1.9 million neurons, 14 billion synapses, and 12 kilometers of myelinated fibers.
Wow.
So, you know, time is brain.
Yes.
And so speeding up the processes of care has made a huge difference.
Yes.
But it's not just thrombolysis. Thrombolysis in the best hospitals, you would expect to be able to treat 20-25% of people with ischemic stroke.
Mm-hmm.
However, the 100% of people with all sorts of stroke would benefit from a stroke unit.
Yes, of course.
And getting that sort of advice, yep, they've had a stroke, that patient isn't eligible for thrombolysis, but, you know, make sure you're giving them an aspirin, start the statin, get the blood pressure under control,
yep.
Get them to the stroke unit. This sort of advice, incremental bits of evidence-based medicine, if you put it all together, the stroke unit saves 5 people per 100 treated from being dependent.
Yes.
And dependent.
That's a significant number, isn't it?
And the other thing that the telestroke service will identify is those people with the really big strokes, with the big clots, mm-hmm. that will benefit for thrombectomy. And in rural Australia, this would mean fast transit to one of the thrombectomy sites that are generally in the big metro centres.
Yes.
So, also, very minor ischemic strokes or TIAs that mm-hmm. would not be suitable for thrombolysis. We've got some fairly new evidence that 2 to 3 weeks of double antiplatelet therapy with aspirin and clopidogrel is beneficial.
Cool.
So there are a myriad of interventions that the stroke physician, the stroke neurologist, can help with the rural sites. Just make sure, dot the I's, cross the T's, and improve the outcome for the patient. It's not all about thrombolysis.
Richard, thank you for your time.
Okay, well, good to have a look, chat. It is a bit of a Cinderella specialty, as you know.
It is.
Brilliant. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Richard. My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.